should be paid again. Now Kidco is facing another battle, this time with the State Department of Agriculture. It seems that Kidco branched out and has developed another profitable business, killing gophers. To those of you who don't know the California pocket gopher, he's an energetic tunnel digger who can turn a decent-looking lawn into an ugly dirt pile almost overnight. Well, the state is demanding that the children take and pass the test for a pest control license, and that they reveal the secret formula for the poison they're using to kill the gophers. As President Dickey Cessna said in a letter to his state senator, quote, "The test is too hard for us little kids, even if we are pretty smart in business," unquote. And he added, "We do a good service killing gophers and don't do nothing to hurt birds or dogs or other animals. Gosh, all we want to do is work and make some money so we can go to college when we get older," unquote. Of course, the state's legitimate concern is whether the poison being used is dangerous to the children or to others. But it would seem to me that their mother would have satisfied herself as to its safety and is in a good position to do so. Dickey wrote as follows, "We do not think our secret weapon for killing gophers should have to be registered because it's not on any of your lists and because it is made from chemicals that everybody's mom has in her kitchen. You have to know how to mix them and how to put the stuff in the gopher holes," unquote. And then he adds, "If we reveal our business secret, everyone will know how to kill gophers, and we'll be out of business," unquote. The matter of making them take a test and get a license as exterminators does seem to be bureaucratic overkill. Right at this point, in preparing this broadcast, I received further news. I feel like I'm seeing a rerun of one of those old movies where the reporter grabs the phone and says, "Give me the city desk, I've got a story that'll crack this town wide open." You can, as the saying goes, fight City Hall. Right has triumphed. Faced with having to file a criminal complaint against these young people, the State Department of Agriculture has given in. Kidco will continue to eradicate gophers with its secret weapon, and hopefully the department will move on to more productive and useful tasks. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Kenny Enney. We're waiting for Darcia Stebbins to call in.
Hello?
Darcia Stebbins.
Yes.
You are on the air. She's on special assignment somewhere in locations unknown.
Yes.
So, welcome to Open Mic Friday. I'm Kenny Enney. Darcia, as I mentioned, say hi, Darcia, is on
Hi, Kenny.
Location.
Yes, we're on special assignment, man on the street location.
Somewhere where?
Actually, in Los Angeles, Laguna Hills. We have I appreciate being able to play tennis in parts of my life, and we have sectionals that is going on now in Laguna Hills, and was hoping that we could continue the show. It looks like without too many technical difficulties. I'm hoping it's not too loud behind me, but I'm trying to get to a better location. And we can cover some of the local election that was just certified. And there's some new laws coming into effect And we also have the Texas redistricting case that went before the Supreme Court. And I understand that was a little bit interesting. And whatever people want to call in and talk about today, and Kenny, you have some, we both have some connection to elections and what's going on in Venezuela and perhaps how that relates to our national security and what's going on in our country.
Yeah, Darsha's given me a reading assignment. She gave me two books to read. One was The Steal. Darsha, what was the other one called?
So the other one was called Stolen Elections. So The Steal is by Joe Hoft, who is an international...
Hold on, I just lost my hearing.
Okay. And I'm still talking. I'm not sure if it's on the air or not. And if you have your mic going. So Joe Hoft is an international CPA, and he could be from the headset.
Yep, I think I fixed it.
I'm sure you did.
I will endeavor like today not to disprove Kevin's theory that a trained monkey could operate this soundboard.
I know. So Joe Hoft is an international CPA, did work in Hong Kong, and he says that working with China, he would, even from communist China, that he would get more transparent and better records and sooner than he might get from some of the election integrity folks that are supposedly having transparent elections. So what was great about Joe Hoft and meeting Joe Hoft, I met him at the New California State Conference in Irvine a couple years ago now, and he has spoken at a couple of the other conventions. We just had one that was down in San Diego. And he wrote three books called The Steal collectively. And those were the first book. There are three different ones. One was basically the cover-up, how it happened, the cover-up, and, you know, where do we go from here? And in those books, as you're reading, so folks, we have to understand that we have a captured system at this point. There's multiple things going on, but from an auditing standpoint, from an accounting standpoint, from even a business standpoint or common sense standpoint, we're looking at systems that are designed to not be transparent and not be accurate and no way to prove that they are accurate. And so I've been saying this quite a bit, but now there's more and more coming through. It's kind of that trickle. Drip, 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 but that information is coming forward. And the other book that I had had to read was called Stolen Elections, and that is with Laura Logan, and Ralph Pavullo has written a book, and Laura Logan had interviewed him along with Martin. I can't remember his last name at this point, but he's basically a whistleblower from Venezuela and discussing that the Smartmatic machines were essentially designed by three Venezuelan engineers, software engineers, a company called Software Soft initially, then changed its name to be Smartmatic. And from Smartmatic, then the software that was written to be able to flip votes. So let's say you have a 50-50 election, that 100th ballot that came in, so it was 50-50, that 100th ballot could be flipped to 49-51. And what has transpired, that was in the year 2000, essentially 2000 and early 2000s. What has transpired since then through Smartmatic, which mostly was the international and Los Angeles County, domestically, but mostly international, about 72 countries that have been able to have so-called democratic elections be able to be, to have dictators win their elections. so that you have what we have now, 25 years later, where you have country after country that has inevitably fallen, and it's the Cuban connection with Venezuela. And what I thought that that was really interesting, or might be interesting to you, Kenny, was because of your connection to Venezuela, what you saw, what you were sent there to do, and your mission, and how that's intertwined in a regime change war.
Right.
How the elections essentially are not necessarily the catalyst, but that's, they have to be able to subvert the elections in order to get their person placed in quote, elected authority.
Well, I haven't gotten to the Bazulo book yet, but I have to say I'm probably more interested in reading that. What I've gotten out of the Steele, the Hoft book so far is it was a combination of things. His thesis is it was a combination of things that led to the stealing of the 2020 election. But, you know, jumping back over to Venezuela and Colombia and South America, you know, kind of how I got here on the North Coast is I was getting ready to get out of the Marine Corps. I got accepted into a program up at Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey. And I frankly hated California until I drove north of Ventura for the first time and realized that there was something else besides urban sprawl. But my studies at Naval Postgraduate School were special operations, low intensity conflict. That was my focus. And my thesis was on revolutionary theory and doctrine, focusing on Colombia. And I wound up being, I had finished my studies at Naval Postgrad, went to Defense Language Institute for 6 months, learned Spanish. Then I went down to U.S. Southern Command out of Miami. And then I worked out of there doing counterinsurgency and counter-narcotics operations. But for my first year at U.S. Southern Command, I was in charge of the Columbia branch, which was about 30 intel analysts in the Joint Intelligence Center. And a lot of the stuff that you were hearing about in the news, all these different connections, you know, whether it's Black Lives Matter with Hugo Chavez and Maduro, or whether it's Smartmatic with questionable conduct of elections. All of this was stuff that was starting to be discussed when I was working in Southern Command in the early 2000s. And I got an interesting email from a friend of mine just this morning, and supposedly, I'll just read it, but it says, Hugo Carvajal, Venezuela's former military intelligence chief, just dropped an explosive letter from U.S. prison alleging that Maduro's regime has been waging coordinated narco-terrorist warfare against America for decades. After pleading guilty to narco-terrorist charges, Carvajal claims he's writing to atone by exposing how Cuba suggested weaponizing drugs against the U.S. in the mid-2000s. And that was something that we started to see when I was working as a military advisor. And that was when you had the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1990. They had bankrolled Cuba and all the little communist guerrilla organizations throughout South America. And when the Soviet Union went belly up, they had to find another way of funding themselves, and that became drugs. And so, after the elimination of Pablo Escobar and the Cali cartel and the Medellin cartel, who took over? It was the FARC, the Fuerzas Armadas Revolucionarias de Colombia, and the ELN, Ejército de Liberación Nacional. Those were the two largest communist groups in Colombia. And they took over the drug trade. And when the Bush administration came in, I had to spend a lot of time with other analysts out of Southcom convincing the Bush administration not to listen to the CIA and really to look at the fact that there was a direct nexus between the drug trade and the communists that were trying to take over Colombia. And as you dug more and more, between 1999 and 2002, it was evident that the Chavez regime was aiding the FARC and the ELN in Colombia, which eventually led to a coup attempt against Chavez. And it's either April or May of 2002. I can't remember. But it's an interesting, it's an interesting connection. Pozzulo's book, the reason I'm looking for, I listened to him on one of the shows here that's on Saturday, and I can't remember the name of the show, but I heard him speaking, and a lot of the stuff that he was saying makes sense to me. Chavez, Castro at the time, some of the other Marxist groups, Lula in Brazil. If you remember, they were all vehemently opposed to Yankee imperialism in South America. There was no way they were going to be able to compete against the United States militarily. So how are you going to inflict damage on your enemy indirectly? Drugs was probably the best way to do it. And
quite honestly, that is exactly the funding mechanism. Unfortunately, you have trafficking, human trafficking, child sex trafficking, the drugs, so it's follow the money.
Right.
And what industries and what, for thousands of years, and that's what, how much is your vote worth?
Well, so and that's another...
When you can control an election, you can control the trajectory of that country.
And I agree with everything you just said. The question I still have in my mind is controlling the elections one of the lines of operations, one of the tactics that our enemies would use against us, or is it really kind of a byproduct? And what I mean by that is, again, going back to Venezuela, early 2000s, Venezuela started cozying up with the Chinese. While I was still working, I left that area of operation in early 2003, and went off to command and staff, and then went to Iraq and Afghanistan for the next 3 years. So I kind of lost track on what was going on down there. But when I was leaving in 2003, you already had the PRC, People's Republic of China, gaining large footholds throughout South America. At the time, primarily Ecuador, Bolivia, Peru, not really much in Colombia, but definitely in Venezuela, and also in Panama. And you had Chinese corporations that basically took over operation of the Panama Canal. And if you remember earlier this year, Trump took it back and basically told the Panamanians, you can either sign a contract with us or, we'll exercise our rights as we see them under the treaty and take control back. But Venezuela was really ground zero for allowing all of our enemies, whether it was the Chinese, the Russians, or the Iranians, to operate in the Western Hemisphere. Right after 9/11, I went down with a group of special ops guys and intel guys to basically retrace the route of the 9/11 bombers, because some of the 19 that hijacked the planes on September 11th, came up through South America. They came through Buenos Aires, Argentina, and Argentina had I don't know how to describe the agreement, but you basically didn't need a visa to come into the United States from Argentina. And you have a large Middle Eastern population, not only in Argentina, mm-hmm. but also in Paraguay and Uruguay and Brazil. And then our other areas around South America, to include the coastline, the Caribbean coast of Colombia and Venezuela. But we were basically tasked to go down for 6 weeks right after 9/11 and start establishing where the support nodes were for those bombers. And a lot of those links then went right back to Columbia. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Casey, the market manager. The Templeton Farmers Market is at the Templeton Park on Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. In season, we have strawberries, leafy greens, avocados, oranges, winter squash, honey, meat, flowers, and so much more. You can even get fresh pressed juice, bread, bagels, coffee, and tamales. If you can't make it Saturday, swing by another North County Farmers Market in Baywood on Mondays, Paso Robles on Tuesdays, and Atascadero on Wednesdays. We are open, rain or shine, unless weather conditions are too dangerous. Check out our social media for day of updates.
The city of Atascadero kicks off their holiday season with the Light Up the Downtown's Garden Lights and Winter Nights, making the Sunken Gardens area sparkle. This evening, from 5:30 to 8 p.m., enjoy community entertainment, Santa, complimentary horse-drawn hayrides, hot chocolate, and more. The event begins in the Sunken Gardens and continues throughout the downtown with a holiday sip and shop. Shops will be open late, and wine and beer tastings will be available for participating merchants. For more info, go to visitatascadero.com.
Greg King here from your Valley Fresh Market in Atascadero. This week, we are slashing prices up and down every aisle and every department. Like our meat department, baby back ribs, just $3.99 a pound. Chicken breast and thighs, $1.99 a pound. Whole USDA tri-tips, just $4.99 a pound. And fresh ground beef, $2.99 a pound. In produce, we have medium Hass avocados, just 49 cents each. On the vine tomatoes, 99 cents a pound. And premium Fuji apples, $1.99 a pound. In our service deli, we've got Boar's Head American cheese, just $5.99 a pound. Freshly made macaroni salad, just $2.99 a pound. Freshly made half-pound tri-tip sandwiches, just $3.99 each. In our liquor department, Svedka Vodka, all flavors, just $9.99 for a 750. Michelob Ultra 6-pack, just $6.99. So come in and stock up for the holidays. Valley Fresh has become a gathering place for the community. Thanks for making us your favorite new store. Fresh food, fair prices, and the best service on the Central Coast every day. We are off Del Rio exit in Atascadero.
Let's be honest, everyone hates putting up Christmas lights. So why not just skip it this year? The truth is, it's not about the lights. It's about creating the memories. It's about seeing the kids' faces light up and not spending all day hanging up lights. I'm Aaron King, the owner of Slow Holiday Lights. We handle everything you need to make this holiday season the most memorable yet. We design, install, maintain, and store the beautiful Christmas lights so you don't have to lift a finger. No ladders to fall off of, no tangled lights to mess with, no stress, period. Look us up at slowholidaylights.com.
All right, we're back. Darsha, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here, ready to go. And I appreciate that historical walk down memory lane. That's quite interesting. But I just see that what we have with our election system, that a lot of the corruption, a lot of the things where it just doesn't make sense anymore, and everyone's looking at everyone else going, who voted for this? I didn't vote for this. How can this possibly be, you know, who's voting for these people? That a lot of it is because that it comes downstream from being able to subvert an election system. And I know I've been called everything, an election denier. I've never denied that an election took place. I just denied that it's being counted accurately,
right,
or represented that the results are accurate.
But, you know, going back,
this is a global thing. It's not just San Luis Obispo County.
No, absolutely. You know, going back, you said the what I think is the key word, and that's to subvert the election. And why would you know, enemies of democracy want to do that? And that's basically to create chaos and doubt. And when you look at you know, again,
and an agenda,
right? Well, as you sow the seeds of doubt and confidence, mm-hmm, in a system, and again, going back to looking at revolutionary theory and doctrine. You know, one of the things, if you're ever bored and you want to read Mao's Little Red Book, you know, one of the things that Maoism always pushes is destroying the pillars of of society. And at the same time, just by doing that, you're destroying confidence in that society, and you're creating a population that's more ready to accept the change. I could make that. I think if you look at the collapse of Obamacare right now, I think the intent all along was to destroy the health system, with the intent that the Democrats would drive everybody towards single-payer health care or socialized health care. And the Republicans, by really not having an alternative, have kind of been complicit in this, not purposefully, but they...
Well, and especially when you have... it's not just a party... It's not along party lines. There are many Republicans who have been subverted, threatened, manipulated, retaliated against, and the lawfare. When we saw, and it really, where I think it is most evident, was probably in the Obama era going forward. Yeah. And, where you would think, okay, someone's been charged with however many felonies, you think, wow, they usually do a pretty good job. There's probably something there. And well, start seeing, like, John Eastman, who was Trump's attorney, that literally was included in as a co-conspirator in a lawsuit having to do with elections that he had no part in.
Well, again, going back to
disbarred.
Going back to destroying confidence in a system and using my healthcare analogy, we at one point, and we probably still do to some degree, but we have had the best healthcare system in the world. Everybody traveled from around the world to come to the United States. And right now, insurance rates are so high that even the pay raises that people are getting can't keep up with the cost of their insurance increases, and it's supposed to go up another 25% to 30% next year. Why would you put a system in to purposely do that? And it's basically to force the population to say, "Uncle, okay, yeah, we can't afford this anymore. We want free health care." Now, where the Republicans are screwing up, in my opinion, is they should be saying, "Well, no, you don't need free health care. You need to eliminate." Or allow interstate insurance and start looking at alternative means to fixing the healthcare system or at least the insurance system. But all
a
these
competitive
things,
market.
Correct. Basically establish a free market economy. And I'll point out, anywhere you look in the United States, anywhere the U.S. government seems to touch something, they break it, whether it's, education or healthcare. And anywhere you don't have a free market system, education and healthcare, you have these exorbitant costs and poor results. Anyways, my thesis on this is essentially that I agree that our elections are being subverted. I agree that a lot of the systems are being subverted, but the overall intent is not necessarily to gain control of the country through those subverted elections. I think the intent really is just to destroy confidence in the system all around.
And you have people, you have the infighting. So then it starts, well, it's your fault. You did this, you did that. And you have Americans that are fighting with each other. And so what the Chinese and Venezuelans in the book Stolen Elections have said and said out loud is we can overtake a country without ever firing a shot.
Yep, and they know they can't take the U.S. military on directly, and that's why they would want to do it. All right, we've got to go to a break. We'll be back in about, 6-7 minutes. All right. Hang on, Darsha.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.